We do want to welcome everyone here. We want to welcome everyone that may be watching. Because I had somebody tell me this call when I was talking to them that they were going to try to put it on and to listen and stuff. So we do thank the Lord for what he's done, people, and what he's going to do. What he's going to do. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, thinking, you know, Thanksgiving is Thursday. And it's a holiday that was set up to be thankful. And it was to be thankful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To be thankful for all that he had given to them. And we know now in 2020, we've all looked back to the what a year we've had. From the COVID-19 scenario to the presidential race and all the things that are looming and over the whole world, if you want to say, or, you know, certain parts and even parts of our country. And yet we may look back and we may look and we say, what should we be thankful for? You know, probably some of us, maybe some may have had family members that, or even yourselves that has caught this virus this year and has done some damage to their bodies, but we've seen maybe some come through with not a single sign of anything happening to them. So, you know, we always need to be thankful to our God in what he has given unto us. I look at Thanksgiving, and, you know, we can go back to the beginning of when the pilgrims and the Indians got together and they thanked, you know, for all the food that God had given them and all the safe journey getting to the new land. And yes, they had tragedies. Yes, people died. Yes, things happened. But yet, they kept their focus upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that they served. And we too need to be reminded of keeping our focus upon God. And what he wants and what he's doing and where he's going with all the things that are happening in the world. Probably, you know, every one of us could get up and thank God for the many things that he has done for us. Just this year, providing for us, giving unto us. You know, when we didn't know what we do tomorrow, maybe through just needing wisdom, that God would come through and give the wisdom that we needed to get through tomorrow and the help that we needed. Maybe the financial help that God has given unto us that we can look back this year and see where God has come in. Even through all this pandemic, you know, we've seen where people, God has come in and supplied jobs to people, has given them the money that they need to go on and to provide for their families. The power of Almighty God. You know, I was listening. Somebody came up to me this week and they said, look, we were listening to one of your sermons the other day. One back then, and she said, what do you preach from? Which Bible? Is it the New King James or King James? And I said, it's the King James Version from Jimmy Swaggart. And she said, because we were listening to it and you answered something that I needed an answer for. They've never stepped foot in this church. I grant you, I know who's coming, who hasn't. And I said, great. You see, the power of God moving, you know, sometimes we may not be able to see it in the physical, but let me tell you, it's coming to a place. What God has been doing in the spirit is going to happen in the physical that we can see it. Look, we people are waiting for the last outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready for that, ready spiritually, ready to do what God has called us to do. Because he's ready to pour out the anointing and the Spirit of God like we've never seen before. We have to allow him, and that's really, it's kind of sad, allowing him to move. Really, we shouldn't even have to do that. But letting the Lord move and sweep over a community, sweep over an area, wherever he wants to move, and pour out the anointing and the Spirit of God, and people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, the whole world is going crazy, you know. And I said, yeah, you're right. You know, things are happening that we never thought would ever happen. But people, we need to keep our eyes upon Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, and let the anointing and the Spirit of God move at will. Let me tell you, it takes one word of the Spirit of God to speak to somebody, and let me tell you, it'll change their life. It takes one word by the Spirit of God to move upon a situation and change it like we've never seen before. To be thankful unto him. Thanksgiving is coming. That's Thursday, where families are going to gather together and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Sometimes that might be the only time they even say grace. But at least they say grace that day. You know, now you hear it on the news, and you hear it, you know, with all this stuff going on, and I leave that up to the people not to even get together on Thanksgiving, not to get together on Christmas. And I can kind of understand their point of view on this virus a little bit. Humanity needs humanity.
Yes, amen.
Humanity needs a touch of the flesh upon the flesh. We're made to be loved. And let me tell you, it's destroying people's lives. And how do because you can see society, there's more people getting on drugs because they can't handle this thing of staying in their home constantly. More people are becoming alcoholics because they can't stand it anymore. They're going crazy. But I tell you, the Spirit of God can break through. The Spirit of God can break through. And let me tell you, let us be the channel where God can use us to break through these things and say, hey, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope. There's hope in this lost and dying generation. And the hope is in Christ. The hope is in God, in what he can do. As we look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise be unto our God. Praise be unto our God. What God can do and what God wants to do, by the power and the presence of our Lord. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Oh, Jesus. Psalms 103. Be thankful to God in what he can and wants to do. Look at verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Page 979. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Ah, praise the Lord. Don't forget to be thankful to a God that hung on a cross, became flesh, hung on the cross, and took upon himself every disease of mankind and won victory over it. See, don't forget the benefits, his benefits of what he's given unto us, the power and the presence of our God, the anointing of the Spirit of God, what God can do, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. My Lord, we need some renewing here. Lord, renew our strength like the eagles, Lord. Renew. But don't forget his promises, people. The promises of God, as we give thanks unto him, is yes and amen. Yes and amen. That's the power of our God. You know, God says in the last days that he's going to pour out his Spirit. I was listening to someone, Jelaine and I, this morning. We were just listening to the preacher. And he said, God spoke to him and said, God's Spirit is about to flood the earth. Amen. And he said, it's the last great revival. We have to be ready. And you might say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm ready or not. Ready just means your heart is towards God. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect. But I tell you what, God is looking for a heart like David had. A heart that wants God more than anything. A heart where God can use for the kingdom of God. That the power of the presence of the Holy Ghost could flow into. That's who God, and look, he's about to pour it out, people. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for an outpouring of the Spirit of God, where we have people walking in here off the streets because they're looking for a place where God is moving. They're looking for a place where God is welcome. They're looking for a place where his hands are not tied and his feet are not tied, but it's open to the Spirit of God. That's what we want. We want God to move like he wants to move. Let me tell you, there's many addicts out there that are waiting for the church to say, we have the answer. We have the answer. That's part of what we're going to talk about a little bit Tuesday for our Thanksgiving service. I'm going to be the moderator, by the way. Andrew's speaking. Well, all the pastors are speaking, so I'm letting him take my 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is. But I'm just the moderator. But God's going to move. God is going to move, people. Get here. Let me tell you, you're going to see what God wants to do. And what we have the answer. We have the answer. The church has the answer, not the world. Amen. We bought into the world has the answer. Psychology is the answer. Go to these men and these women and lay there and tell them all your problems, you know. And let them give you a little bit of a solution. That's not the solution. The solution is give your heart to Christ. Yes. And let him deal with your soul. Yes. And let him bring deliverance to your body. Yes. My God. Yes. You remember the guy that at the gravesite? Full of demons. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. He knew that there was one guy that lived among the graves. Can you imagine? Remember when you were young, how you hated to even drive through the graveyard, you know? It was like, ooh, spooky here, you know? You never know, you know? And then they had some graves, they were a little open because they old, you know? And, oh, you hear the stories and you're just freaking out. You know, you're just scared. Well, Jesus said, let's go to the graves. That's our God. Because he knew there was a guy there, somehow was crying out somehow. Even though he wasn't in his right mind, full of demons. I mean, full of demons, legions of demons in him. that he could not keep clothes on, that he'd run around in the graves and would terrorize. They couldn't chain him or put ropes around about him because he would break all this stuff. But God came through for him. And if God will go another way to bring his son to him, God will go another way to come to you and I. And God will go another way to come to go to your family members too. See, the devil does not want you to believe God that he can save your families. This is what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that your family members are too hard for God to break. And we know a God that made the heavens and the earth and everything in it, that's not too hard for God. God is looking for a people that will take the promises of God and will hold on to the word of God and will stand upon it. You know, before church, somebody was asking, the prayer that we have back there with the scriptures, you know, they were asking about how it was helping us. And I said, I'll tell you, it has helped me, knowing that people are praying the scriptures and claiming the scriptures for Jelaine and I. As your pastors, we should be first. I'm not trying to be before any other pastor out there, because we feed you and we go before God for you. Now, if you have extra time, that's okay. Extra time. We have everybody has 24 hours, huh? But we need your prayers. But here we see God got to the other side, and here this man, can you imagine, no clothes on, dirty, smelled bad, probably hadn't eaten in days, just ragged out. You might say, that's my neighbor. Okay, that's okay. Coming towards you, and Jesus, and he bows and kneels, and Jesus looks at this man with compassion. With compassion. And that's how we should look to people, with compassion. And I know sometimes we don't. You know, all of us, you know, everybody in the world, you know, we think whatever. But God looked at this man with compassion and prayed over him, and all of a sudden the demons left. That's the power of our God. People, I'm trying to raise your faith today. To be thankful to your God, but raise your faith. To believe God for the impossible. Don't give up. Don't give up. You've been praying for your husbands. You've been praying for your wives. You've been praying for your children. You've been praying for your church. Don't give up. Prayer is what's keeping the church going. The prayers of the saints of God. We've had so many saints of old that have passed away that were prayer warriors. And I don't know if there's people taking their place. That's going to leave the church in a bad place, the body of Christ. But God is coming around by the Spirit of God saying, I'm going to raise him up. They think he can't do it, but I'm going to raise him up. I'm going to raise her up. People in the world think she's nothing, but I'm going to raise her up. I'm going to raise this young boy up and this young girl up to take the cross of Calvary to the world. You see, we need to thank our God that he didn't desert us when we should have been deserted. We need to thank our God for the many blessings of things that he has given to the church. How do you think that guy felt when Jesus prayed over him and those demons left? And he was in his right mind. That tells us something. And he put clothes on right away. He took care of himself, ate, washed, took a bath. And in the end, he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back. Go back to your family. Share with them what I have done for you. That's the power of Almighty God. To be thankful to God in what he can do for us and what he wants to do for us. Look at this. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow unto anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them who fear him. Amen. Huh? Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof, and shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is forever to everlasting upon them who fear him. You should have shouted right there. The mercy of God. Thank God for his mercy. That's why when we mess up or we do something or we say something or we do, you know, whatever, that we can go to God and say, forgive me. And he looks at us through the mercy, the eyes of mercy, because we fear him. Not that we are scared of him, but we fear him in reverence towards him, in reverence towards our God. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep the covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless you the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We need to be thankful in all the things that God has given us. Thanksgiving calls for us to look up. Even in the storms of difficulty, people, we need to look up. Look up. Don't look at the storm. Look up to the God that can change the storm. Amen. You know, even when, you know, storms come our way, there's always the sun that will shine later on. Amen. It may look difficult, but we thank our God through the process that he is a God that's taken care and has everything under control. We all go through times of trouble. I want you to turn, if you would, to John 16, verse 32 and 33. John 16. John 16. 32. It says, behold, the hour comes, yes, it is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Look, he says, look, because the Father is with me. You're never alone, people. Look, the devil will try to tell you, well, you're going through this, you're the only person in all the world. That is not truth. And he knows it. Don't ever feed into what the devil tries to tell you, that you're all alone, going through a difficult time or difficult season in your life or a different part of your life. You're never alone. Never alone. The children of Israel, before they left Egypt, probably, you know, they thought, oh gosh, this is horrible. You know, before the great deliverance of the Israelites coming to the Red Sea, they thought everything was the most horrible thing. They all thought this is the worst thing in all the world. Yet because the task had gotten harder and harder, they had to make bricks without any straw. They had to do all these things. It got worse and worse. But they didn't realize that God was in the process of raising a man. A man after God's own heart. A man that would bring deliverance. You see, sometimes we don't realize, yes, we may be going through something, but on the other hand, God is working. God is working. You see, we got to get out of the way of looking at things from the physical and start looking at what God is going to do, how God looks at things, and start looking at it from the Spirit of God that's in us and what God will do. That's faith in your God, to believe Him for the miraculous and the miracles that we need upon our lives, upon our ministries, upon the church, upon everything in this world. The church has to rely upon God. We've gone too long with relying upon the arm of the flesh. Too long. And look where it got us. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. Look where it got us. We probably have more evil in the church than outside the church, almost. We have the same amount of divorce rate in the church as out the church. I mean, we have the same bickering outside the church as inside the church. We have the same hatred outside the church as we have inside the church. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. But you see, we got to keep things right with Him and let the power of God move. And let me say you, we want what they had 100 years ago on Azusa Street. We want more than that. We want more than that, huh? We want to see people raised from the dead. We want to see people healed of diseases. We want to see people that are in wheelchairs walk out of wheelchairs. We want to see people come in on crutches and leave those crutches because they're walking out by the power of Almighty God. Praise God. Amen. We want to see people healed of cancer. Yes. They go back and the doctor says, what happened? I've been to a prayer meeting. Ooh, where you went? Let me send all my patients to get healed. Let the power of God move like we've never seen before. An outpouring of the Spirit of God to be thankful unto Him. To be thankful for what He's gonna do. Praise God. Amen. What God can do. What God can do. And what He wants to do. The peace and the power of the presence of God. Those Israelites. Can you imagine when they were packing the night before? They had prayed because they were in bondage over 400 years. That's hard for me to imagine 400 or so years. Because our country is only 200 and something years of age. So it's almost double. Can you imagine the night before? God says, go all to the people. And like the Egyptians wanted them out of there. And they got all the gold, the silver, the bronze, everything just to get them out of there. And they took all that back to their homes. And they started packing their clothes. The relics that they had, the things that they treasured. They started putting upon the wagons and upon the camels. They started getting their livestock in arranged that they could bring them with them the night before. Can you imagine? They probably didn't even sleep. So excited. What they had prayed for, God raised up a mighty man to bring deliverance. God raised up our Lord and Savior to bring deliverance unto us. We need to be thankful, number one, that God sent Jesus. Number two, that He died for us. Number three, that He rose from the grave. And number four, that He's seated right next to the Father on the right hand, executing what the Father wants by the Spirit of God. We need to just be thankful. Get up Thursday morning and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So some people may get up and they don't have nowhere else to go But let me tell you, just be thankful you're alive. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you. Go around your house and say, Lord, I want to thank you for my home. Lord, I want to thank you for my vehicles. Lord, I want to thank you for my children. Lord, I want to thank you for my grandkids. I want to thank you for our church. Lord, I want to thank you for our people. Lord, I want to thank you for the anointing and the presence of God. Just being thankful. Don't ever get in the lull of things where it's always, oh my, oh me, and pity, pity, pity party. Don't get there. Don't ever let yourself get there. If you see it start to happen, say, oh, no, 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 no. Father, and I'm telling you this, raise up your hands and say, Father, I thank you that you're my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my King. And keep your eyes on him. As Peter was walking on that water, and Jesus said, just come. I don't know if there was an hesitation or not from Peter, but that's okay. But he got out that water because the Savior said, come. And a lot, God's going to ask us to do things that we're saying, oh Lord, I don't know about this. It's going to look a little sketchy to you, but you're going to know in your spirit it's right. But you do it because it is consistent with the Word of God. You see, walking on water is not normal, huh? We don't walk on water. We walk on ground, cement, stuff like that. No one can walk on water except Peter that we know of and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And when God asked Peter to do that, he thought, I don't know. But he got out in faith and believed. Let's get out of the boat and believe. Get out of the boat and believe. I heard of one lady years ago. She needed a healing from God. And she was telling me, she just prayed, you know, many times she just prayed over herself, Lord, I need a healing. I don't remember what it was, what kind of healing she needed. I know she told me, but I don't remember what it is. That's been that long ago. But she'd pray over herself. And one day as she was praying, the Lord said, I want you to anoint your whole body. You know how the Bible says to anoint the sick with oil. You know, and we do that. We anoint the sick. That's following the scriptures. But the Lord, she said the Lord told her, get in the bathtub and take oil and almost take a bath in it from head to toe. Now, you know, I'm sure she didn't tell too many people. But the Spirit of God had spoken to her. And she went in her bath tub. She took the oil and she just started with her hair and anointed her hair and her face, her body. And she said after that, the healing power of God came upon her and healed her body. We're living in the days of miracles, people. We're living in the days of miracles. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. We're living in the days of miracles. Amen. You know, we're living in the days of miracles, people. Let God be God. I know I kind of went here or there, but be thankful for the things that God has given you. Amen. You know, you might say, well, you know, Pastor Joe, I'm not driving a 2021 vehicle. That's okay if you have a vehicle. Amen. And God may give you one next year. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Just thank God for what you have. Now, there's nothing wrong to believe God for better if it's according to his will. Okay? According to his will. But we thank God for the things we have. Because he is a faithful God. Don't ever think this year's coming up and this last year everybody wants to leave behind. You know, everything might have let you down this year, from number 1 to number 10. But there was one person that never let you down. And that was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still faithful. He says his faithfulness rises to the heavens. Thank God for who he is. thank God for what He will do, and claim the promises of God for this next year. Hallelujah. Don't accept what the devil says you have to have. What? I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. We don't accept what the devil says. We only accept what God says. And we know what God says because we know this word is from our Lord. And as we study and read it and we get that word in us, we can believe. Just like in Psalms 103, we can claim the mercy of God. We can claim the promises of God. We can claim the benefits of our God because of what the word says. What the word says. And that's what we claim. That's what we claim. Claim what God can do. You haven't seen somebody here in a while, call them up. Say, hey man, what's going on? Hey. See what's going on. Let God be God. And let God do what He needs to do upon our hearts and upon our lives. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, Jesus.